There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Wiemy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hey everyone, welcome to the next episode of the Unstuck Podcast. And you guys, today I get a chance to spend some time with my friend Tiffany Haft. Girl, you are amazing. And I'm going to just take a quick moment and introduce you to our audience. Tiffany is an operations consultant. She is an expert in efficiency and effectiveness, and she's been crazy successful in several direct sales companies, including top 1% of sales. So super, super amazing, successful, organized, busy mama of four. And I cannot wait, Tiffany, for you to kind of tell us all about you, some of the things that you have going on right now, and really, what are you most proud of in your life?
Well, thank you, Lichelle. I am super excited to be here, obviously, and too, because I just adore you. And so anybody that follows you, I naturally will adore them as well. Well, obviously, first and foremost, in the morning and at night, I am a mom. And I never take that for granted, as I know there's so many women out there that struggle to get pregnant. And so when I was 20, I knew I wanted four kids. And I have been blessed enough to be able to grow and birth four kids at home. I've had four kids at home.
Wow.
So I'm a weird home mom as well. And I'm just so proud of what my body was able to do. And I so don't try not to take that for granted. And as far as business, I'm proud that I got to a place in my life where I stopped doing the things that other people told me I should do. Mm. And I listened to my heart and I followed what was good for me. For a long time, I kind of put what other people were saying over my own feelings. And I just feel so empowered now that I was able to just make my own path and the things that really light me up and really get me excited and really where I'm supposed to be.
Tell us a little bit about what that looks like right now.
Right now, I am an operation consultant. And what I do is I come into, you know, a small business, a solopreneur, someone who's rocking their business all by themselves. And they kind of get to a point where you can only do so much when it's one person. So looking at efficiencies, looking at systems, looking at calendar management, task management, your emails, all the things that just suck your time as a busy business owner, and really helping my small business owners find their extra time and then help them decide if maybe they need an assistant, maybe they need a bookkeeper, maybe they need to outsource their social media, just kind of being another voice and another person to kind of come alongside them and help them grow their business, especially when it's just them. And they're really struggling to be like, I can't do all the things.
Right.
Where do I focus my time on? Where do I need efficiencies?
Right.
Because you can be super efficient, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're effective. So helping small business owners really move the needle forward in their business.
That's amazing, because sometimes people go into business because they're passionate about something. And then all of the other tasks and jobs and things that you have to do in order to have a successful business start to get in the way. And before you know it, you don't have time to do the thing that you love the most. And basically, it sounds like you just come alongside of people and help them look at their processes and figure out where they might need a little extra fine tuning.
Yes, absolutely. It's all about really coming alongside my clients and saying, okay, if you just tweak these three things, you're going to gain this much time every day, or you're going to be able to open up this much mental energy so that you can focus on the money makers in your business or the things that really light you on fire and not have to worry about these things that you're not good at, you don't like to do. So let's take those off your plate. Let's hire an assistant, or let's outsource some things, or let's just get rid of that part of your business because you don't like doing that part of your business.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And I know that you are helping and are going to help so many people. So thank you for just sharing that. You've also have told me how successful you've been in businesses in the past. Tell me about kind of your most proud moment in your life as an entrepreneur.
I think being able to speak at a national conference, that was probably one of my highlights. I mean, in direct sales, you know, you join a direct sales business with all of these hopes and dreams, and it's very hard when you don't live up to those things, those expectations. And there's been one time in my life where it was the right business at the right time, and they asked me to actually speak on time management and organization, and to be in front of 600 women sharing my passion, that was definitely a highlight for me. I've had these skills for a long time, but being able to share them, that's really where this little fire in me started. Mm-hmm. To do this as a full-time thing.
That's amazing. And that's how we met, actually. I was a customer of yours in the previous company that you were with. And from the outside looking in, Tiffany, you have it all together. Like, you're gorgeous, first of all. You have a happy life at home with four beautiful kids. You are very successful in your current company. You were very successful in the direct sales market that you were in. And from the outside looking in, it looks like everything is perfect and always has been perfect. And I want you to kind of tell us a little bit about what's it like behind the scenes. Have you ever gotten yourself in a situation where you felt like, okay, what the heck am I doing and how do I get out of this?
Oh my gosh, like daily? I live there daily. I'm really good at putting on a face. Like, I think a part of it is that fear of being unliked. It's been easy for me to kind of adapt to situations. So I always look okay on the outside, even though there's like hamsters on the inside running around, you know. I remember specifically, though, when it happened, it was about 4 years ago. I was homeschooling a third grader. I used to homeschool my kids. So I had a third grader and a kindergartner that I was homeschooling. I had a two-year-old, a very difficult temper tantrum throwing sensory processing disorder. She still is very difficult as a child. She's six now, though. And I was pregnant with our fourth kid. I was overwhelmed. Even overwhelmed is kind of an understatement. My house is a mess. I was barely staying afloat in my business. I was snappy at everyone. And this is when I was still in direct sales. I just had this constant feeling like I couldn't get ahead and I was miserable. And still then, on the outside, everything looked fine. But inside, I was like slowly dying. I just couldn't get my stuff together. And even now, I sometimes feel like I go back there. But the systems and the routines that I've instilled in my own life, mm-hmm. which I know are so important because this is what I teach my clients to do.
Yeah.
They always bring me back on track. So it's funny. I think even in social media, to remember, we always see everybody's highlight reels and we all have bloopers. Like that's right. Just the natural phase of life. We all have seasons where things go a little bit better or go a little worse, but what's the 80%? Like, what are the things that are happening 80% of the time? Are they fairly good? Then being grateful for where I am now and the season that I'm in now, but not forget where I came from and threw on these routines so that I don't go back to that.
Right. And I wanted to just tell our audience real quick, because I think it's fun to know like what's going on behind the scenes. But Tiffany and I are both in our respective closets right now with our baseball caps on.
Three locked doors.
Yeah, me too. I just want to remind people that we all have the real life, the real things beside us and behind the doors and inside of our souls. And maybe we don't always share those things. And I really want to just thank you for that moment of vulnerability and telling us a little bit about what your life was looking like a couple years ago. And I want you to kind of shift gears a little bit, Tiffany, if you would. And I want you to take us through what that moment and those collective moments did for you and how they've been able to make you who you are now.
First, I think I realized that there was more in my control than I thought. And there was more in control that I could change. Like, I didn't need to live in that emotional state. I could change my perspective. Mm-hmm. I could change my surroundings. I mean, I couldn't move.
Right.
You know, like, we weren't in a position to, like, get a bigger house at that point. But I could minimize some stuff in our house. I could make things easier to clean up. I could rearrange some things. You know, I had full control. Plus, I could just change my mindset. Am I waking up already mad without anything happening? Well, then the day is not going to go as well as I want it to. So how do I start my day? Do I start it where I really focus on calming my mind, praying, journaling, or, you know, and even if it's 10 minutes and realizing that we're all in these seasons, especially with little kids or babies or infants or strong toddlers, where we have to just take the moments that we have instead of feeling like I need to sit down and spend an hour and a half in Bible study. I can't do that. Like, it just logically doesn't make sense for my life right now. But I can take 10 minutes three times a day mm-hmm. and just write something down or read a Bible verse just to keep my spirit in alignment and filled up so that I can then give to my family. I became like the Google person for household systems. I read books. I read books on how to manage a large family. I read every mom blog I could find, every mom hack, every mom course, like all the things to figure out, okay, how's the best way to run a house? And really what it came to is that simplify, get rid of just extra stuff, create some solid routines so that everybody kind of knows what the expectations are, and then just purge all the things. I started following Ali Kazaza, who's great at minimalism. Like, just, she has a ton of resources for that. Mm-hmm. And really just starting to implement like simpler living so that it felt like all the clutter was what was cluttering myself, right, my personality, like just my everything. And I was raised by a hoarder. So that's always kind of been, when there's clutter, I tend to shut down. Mm-hmm. Even in my own office and things like that, I have to keep things tidy or I just lose my focus. So I really started analyzing everything we did as a family and realizing that all of these systems that you think you put in your business that are helpful, if you just put those into your house, it's amazing how much better your house runs. So laundry, errands, mail, where the stuff goes, workflows for our house. It got to the point where I was like, why did I not think about this 5 years ago when we first started having kids? But just starting to implement those systems really helped me feel like I had control again. Mm-hmm. Giving myself extra time within our house helped me have more time for my businesses, yeah, which at the end of the day, plus I was just a better mom. I was more calm. I was more patient.
So there's a couple of things that I want to unpack. First of all, I just don't want to forget that you were basically saying that when you have systems in place, that's what brings you more balance overall with all components of your life. And so I really want to get into that in a minute. You had to make a decision to figure out what you're going to do next, which led you to get into Google, which led you get into all of these resources, which led you to implement these systems in your house. And oftentimes when we feel like we are stuck, it's really just a perceived lack of control. And if you can figure out what it is that you can control, you feel less stuck. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. So many times it's mindset. I mean, in every area of our life before struggling, there's so many times it's our mindset. How are we filling our mind and protecting ourselves and thinking positively? And I'm one of those people, like, I have a really hard time always thinking positively. My husband is like one of those people, like, just always say positive things and positive things will happen. And I'm like, that's not my personality. Like, it's really hard. I'm more of a glass half empty kind of girl. But what I've learned over the last couple of years is how important, even just if you can't be unicorns and rainbows every day, well, how can you say a neutral statement so that it's not positive, it's not negative, but it's like, I'm learning, I am growing, I am becoming a better mom every day. Am I the perfect mom today? No, because that's unrealistic. But how can I grow and how can I work towards where I want to be? None of us are going to be perfect. We're all just works in progress. And yes, so going into the day knowing today is not going to go perfect. Something's going to happen. I mean, with four kids, there's always something happening. So just knowing that going into it, like, my day is not going to happen the way I map it out, but I'm still going to map it out. And it's probably 80% going to happen. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. And so I think just having that perspective a little bit, yeah, too, as well as the mindset.
And that's a great just reminder that you don't have to shoot for 100%. 80% is great, because 80% is going to make a drastic difference in your life. And I loved how you said that too, because I am an optimist. Like, I'm the rainbows and unicorns shooting out of your butt all day long, and it drives people insane. But it's really cool just to hear another perspective, because my husband is not that way. And he kind of looks to me sometimes like, oh, good gracious, Lachelle. But I love that you found a way to make that a neutral application of that. And a friend of mine often says, up until now. So I might not know this, but up until now, I haven't been organized. Or up until now, I'm always late for things. It is an analogy that allows us to be able to look forward and not have to be defined by who we are. And I love that. And sometimes I'll find myself saying, like, I'm not that yet, or I haven't accomplished that yet. And it kind of sounds like a lot of the same thing with you. And so for those of us that are listening to this that are not systems oriented, are not overly organized, are overwhelmed by the thought of having routines and structure and all of the things, then we can say that I haven't been that up until now, or I'm not that yet, but giving us some hope there. So, girl, I want you to take us through some of these systems and processes that you have in place in your own house that have ultimately transformed into you running your business.
Absolutely. Another thing to remember is this, I was not always like this. I mean, I grew up with a hoarder. My room was always a disaster. I remember coming home multiple times where my mom had all of my stuff in garbage bags, because yet she was even worse than I was. But regardless, these are skills that I learned. And so to tell, you know, everybody listening that you might not be that now, but you can learn it, just like people who are in sales learn how to do sales. It's things that you can learn and implement, and you don't have to go from zero to 150. You can take small steps and they're going to make a big impact. I love using laundry as an example because I feel like every mom out there.
Yes, bring it on.
I have yet to meet a mom that's like, I love doing laundry. They like begrudgingly say, I love doing laundry.
Yes.
And I used to hate laundry day because I'm like torturing myself, piles and piles and piles. It takes all day long. It's such a burden. Like, this is awful. And what I realized is, oh, if I put one load in before I go to bed, then I wake up the next morning, I put it in the dryer, and then at lunchtime, I fold it and put it away. And I do that every day. I never get behind and I don't have a big laundry day. Well, this is way more manageable for me and my personality than having one whole laundry day, which some people like doing a laundry day. I just never was that person. So if I just implemented this small little routine, I didn't have this like one Saturday where I couldn't go anywhere because I had laundry the whole day.
Right.
So like things like that. It's like thinking through even just moving your dishes in your kitchen closer to your dishwasher so they're easier to put away, or moving the things that the kids need to get onto a lower shelf so they can get it themselves. You know, just kind of those like random things of, well, this would make sense. I used to have all of our art supplies in the kitchen.
Okay.
Because we always did art at the kitchen table. So it's like, why would I put all the art supplies in the basement and then always have to lug them back and forth every day instead of just emptying out a cabinet, getting rid of like 9 million sippy cups and using that cupboard as the art supplies. So kind of things like that. And a lot of it is just thinking through your family, like how does our family work, and analyzing kind of some of the sticking points in your life. Like, oh, we always have to walk to another room to put this away. Well, could we leave it in the room that it's being used in? Do you know what I mean? Like kind of that.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that you would tell a family who's listening or a mom who's listening to think about her family and think about the things that her family does and where your pain points are. Where are your bottlenecks in your day and how can you possibly rearrange things in order to make it a little bit easier on yourself? Does that sound accurate?
Yes, absolutely. And knowing that my house is rarely spotless. We had an interview tonight for some to potentially be a foster for dogs. And like 45 minutes before the interview, we're like scrambling around, picking toys up so that they don't think we're like livid slobs. But the nice thing was, is that our kids generally pick up. We have kind of stopping points throughout the day where they're tidying up. So it took six of us like 20 minutes to really clean up the house. So it wasn't like this massive. I'm really passionate about teaching our kids this too.
Right.
My feeling is my job as a parent, as a mother, is to teach my kids how to be good adults.
Right.
Like, so what are the skills that I'm instilling in them today so that they're solid, functioning adults? And even as adults, we have a hard time doing like a task list for most of us, but a routine where you do three things in order, it's easier for most humans to remember. So teaching my kids that too. So their chore charts have routines where they do things in a certain order. So then after they do that for a couple weeks, they get in this habit of doing the same thing in that order. And it makes just everything go easier because they're in a routine now.
Can you give us an example of what that looks like for you guys?
First thing they do when they get up in the morning is they make their bed, they get dressed, and they come downstairs for breakfast. So running downstairs, still in their jammies, you know, right now with all the things happening, way more lazy days than we do when they go to school.
Right.
We've been more lax lately, but generally on a school day, all my kids have to get up at six. They make their bed, do a 5-minute room tidy, come downstairs. And then after they eat, they brush their teeth, they get their school stuff, and they all have a chore chart. So they have it listed out what they need to do. And then when they get home from school, they have another list where, okay, they work on their homework. Then one of them has dance, one of them has wrestling. So they have their list of like what needs to happen. Same thing at bedtime. Okay, it's shower, brush your teeth, read your devotional, and then go to bed. So it's very simple, but written down, it makes it so that they have to stay accountable to doing it in order. Because then as an adult, they're going to have those routines kind of already ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm.
We like to pay our kids too. Not all parents do, but because at the end of the day, they're going to be adults who need to use money. They need to know how to use it, how to save it, how to spend it, how to give it. And so we reward the kids for the amount of effort they give for the week. So if they're supposed to get $7 a week, if they gave a $3 effort, then they get $3. They gave the full $7. And usually the full $7 means they're going a little bit above and beyond to help the family in some way. Mm-hmm. And we reward them for that. So maybe they get an extra buck because they cleaned out the van or they cleaned up the yard for their younger sibling or something like that.
So, I love that. That's awesome, Tiffany. Thank you for just painting us that picture, because I think that so many of us struggle with how do you not only give yourself some kind of routine and structure, but how do you actually raise your kids to do the same? And I love that so much. So thank you for sharing that.
And one other thing too, I just thought about is one way that you can kind of pull these systems out of your family is to write everything down that you do for a couple of days as a family. So, okay, we all drove here. We all went here. It took me an hour over the course of the entire day to pick up, or I had to change 17 diapers or whatever. But writing down everything you do, it will show, kind of give you like a birth, and no judging. Like, you can't judge yourself.
Right,
that's the
right
rule. But it'll give you a kind of an understanding of where are things you could kind of clump like tasks together, or where you could like, oh, I spent way too much time in this area, or I got sucked into Facebook for a half an hour, or, you know, where are the things, and maybe scheduling time to check Facebook or grouping some things together so that you're more efficient throughout the day. I know I teach my clients that to do that in their businesses.
Right.
And it's so easy to implement that into our just our home life, too.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a couple of things that you've said that stood out to me. The first one is just literally making an audit of your day, an audit of your life. You cannot change what you don't acknowledge, and you can't acknowledge what you do not see. And you can't always see unless you actually take the conscious effort in order to look for it, right? And so taking the time might seem tedious, but it is so well worth it in the long run to really grow who you are, grow your processes. And then the other thing that I wanted to just take a moment and acknowledge is the habit formation. I find so much that once we can form habits, one of my favorite books is Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read it, but it's so amazing to think about how when we form habits, we don't have to think about things. Therefore, we don't have to rely on our motivation, because I don't know about you, girl, but I struggle sometimes being motivated to do things that I know I have to do. But if they're habits, I don't have to think about it. It's just who I am and what I do. And so thanks for kind of giving us that blueprint for creating those habits as well.
Yeah, there's another book called The Power of Habit, and that one goes all into the science behind like how our brain works. It's fascinating to know, and even how like companies will market to us based on our buying habits, you know, just all the behind the scenes things that happen and how our brain works based on a habit.
Yeah.
It's so true that when you can form a habit around something, the likelihood of you following through on it is so much higher than if you were to just try to like cross it off a list or
100%
in any other way.
Yeah. You looked at my business, you looked at my processes, things that I'm doing on a daily, weekly basis, and helped me come up with some efficiencies. And I'm so appreciative of that. So I would love to take our audience down that path. And if you're listening to Tiff right now and you're thinking, okay, how do I implement some of this stuff into my business so that I can actually show up and make more of my day? And, you know, one of the things, Tiff, I've shared with you, as you know, is that I started my business so that I could create more time with my family, right? I could be able to slowly drop back at my time at the hospital. And when you are growing a business, sometimes that feels like an unrealistic expectation. But you have this knack for figuring out how to do that. So walk us through some of the things that you would recommend.
The biggest thing is to block your time in your schedule and guard it. Like, guard it so much. So, and also being in tune with your body and your spirit and how you best do things. Like, I have so many clients that are like, I write better on a Monday morning. Okay, well, make sure you're writing on a Monday morning and you block out that time and you don't start scrolling Instagram first thing in the morning, but you do your writing time and most people can only focus for 2 hours at a time. So, and especially if you have little kids at home, it's really hard to work for any bigger chunk of time. So sectioning out either 30 minute, 1 hour, 2 hour max blocks of time to work on something and making it strategic. So, and I actually have an intentional week spreadsheet. If any of your listeners want that, I'm more than happy.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll have the link to that in the show notes so that people can grab that and they can get a hold of you if they want to work with you beyond this. So
awesome. And so you map out your intentional week. What do you want your week to look like? What days do you work best on front end of your business stuff? So whether it's sales calls or whether it's talking to your contacts, What days do you work better on that? Make sure you block out a chunk of time for that. What days are you better at writing or creating content? What days are you better at doing the back end? So your finances, your bookkeeping, things like that. And really telling your time where to go is the biggest tip I have for being efficient in your business, is not just reacting to things, but being proactive and intentional with your time, with your resources, you know, knowing where your money is coming in and going out, knowing what your operational costs are. So kind of being really strategic in business, and understanding too that you probably can afford to outsource earlier than you think you can. I see this so many times with clients. They're like, well, I can't afford an assistant. I'm like, there are plenty of assistants that you can afford that you only need 2 hours a week. And that is going to give you so much more freedom and time, in both just mental energy and physical time, to focus on the things that are really important to you by outsourcing your bookkeeping or sending it to a bookkeeping company or something right. like that. So I think just being strategic in your time, blocking your time and guarding it, and making sure you're not scrolling Facebook, scrolling Instagram, checking your email. I am very diligent with my email time. Right now, not so much because of everything going on, but I tend to check my email first thing in the morning. I have a 30-minute window, set the timer, check my email, and I usually check Instagram then too, because sometimes it doesn't take me 30 minutes to check my email. So I do Facebook, Instagram, my email for 30 minutes max, then I shut it down. I check it once at lunch, and then I check it before I go to bed. 30 minutes each time, and then I'm done. I turn off all notifications, especially with I'm writing content or I'm creating like a webinar or something like that where I really need to focus. I shut everything down. So my only interruption is usually a child, which that I can't turn off.
So. And, you know, just for our listeners, just insight, we are interviewing this in the middle of this whole COVID-19 pandemic. And we just found out today, actually, that our governor announced that no more school for the rest of the school year. So, you know, this is something that we're going to be dealing with at least for a little bit. Any other tips on just how to kind of have those boundaries for yourself and your business?
I think just guarding your time, being intentional, and then understanding that you will probably hit that like intentional week 80% of the time when you map it out like that, and understand that 20% of the time, everything's going to be a disaster. Nothing's going to go the way you planned, and be okay with that. Just having the mentality to go into it being like, you know what? There's a good chunk of this time that's not going to go the way that I plan, but that's okay. I like to also do my top three for the day. I usually have one business goal, one personal goal, and one family goal for the day. And I have a big whiteboard in my kitchen and I write them down there. And I know if I can check those three big things off, I've accomplished what I need to for the day. And if I get more done, fabulous. But if I don't, to not be discouraged, I think that's the biggest thing. We so easily get discouraged because we think we should be perfect. We think we should, our day should be perfect. Everything should be perfect. And it rarely is. So going into it knowing none of this is probably going to be perfect, but that's okay. Just throwing something out there, and imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. I love that. I learned that from a podcast that I listened to, and now her name has just skipped my brain, but I can give Lachelle the link to that too. But just throw something out there, try. And same thing with implementing systems. Take small, tiny, teeny weeny steps. Look at one issue. Maybe it's mail. I know everybody has like the paper in the house between kids' stuff that, well, now we don't have an issue with kids bringing school, but the papers from school and the mail is such a hard thing to deal with. So maybe it's just figuring out a solution for that. Then look at laundry. Yeah. Then look at a business system that you have, like your bookkeeping or something that's like, what are the things that just make you so mad? You're like, this shouldn't take as long as it is taking me.
Yeah. No, that's such a great tip because I'm an all or nothing thinker. It's a good thing and a bad thing. And so sometimes if I implement something new like this and it doesn't work perfectly, I just want to throw in the towel. And I think that's awesome that you're giving us some realistic expectations for it and not underestimating how much that 80% can literally change your life. Okay, girl. So you have been amazing. And this is like just a tip of the iceberg. I wish I could talk to you literally for hours. We have to conclude this. So I want to know how my audience can get a hold of you if they want to follow your journey, if they would love some insight, maybe a consultation to see if you could help them, all of those good things. How would they get a hold of you?
So you can just go to my website. It's Tiffany Hoeft, H-O-E-F-T. And Tiffany is spelled like the jewelry company, .com. And shoot me a note or hello at tiffanyhaeft.com. You can also email me there. You can follow me at Tiff Hoeft on Facebook and Instagram. And just shoot me a note. I'm offering free 1-hour calls through the quarantine if anybody wants to just talk through a pain point and how I might be able to help. I am still taking small business clients and larger business clients if anybody is interested in letting me just come in and kind of overhaul their business a little bit from a system standpoint. I love to give back, especially work-at-home moms. I've been a work-at-home mom for the last 12 years, and I know the pain, the struggle that it is on a daily basis. And so I really want to give back. So I'm more than happy to talk to anybody. And I will have Lachelle link a bunch of my free resources. I've got some printable schedules and calendar or routines for kids. So I'd be more than happy to share that as well.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, you are a wealth of information. And I am so grateful for your time tonight. And thanks for just being amazing.
Thank you, Lachelle. I had such a blast. And I hope everybody kind of got a little nugget to go on with their day.
Me too. Okay, girl. Bye. See you later.
Bye.
Don't forget to hit subscribe so that you don't miss any of this awesomeness. And I will see you here next week as we discover ways to get ourselves unstuck and walk together in order for all of us to step boldly into the life that we are meant to live. Bye.